I'm from. And so I thought we'd sing together the song, Why Me, Lord? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? What did I ever do that was worth loving you and the kindness you show? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Tell me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, I will show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Sing with me. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Amen. This song written Kris Kristofferson. I was going to sing it like Kris Kristofferson. Then I was going back singing it like Johnny Cash, but I had to hold myself. I said, no, just sing it straight. Just do it. Gary Ziegman. All right. So we're going to talk about today, who do you cry to help to? Now, in the truths of Transform, this is a great final message. And Larry Baker has submitted this, and I just want to thank you for that. And come and share your testimony with us.
Good morning. The verse I have chosen is Psalm 121. I look to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who makes heaven and earth. He will not let you be defeated. He who guards you will never sleep. He who guards Israel never rests or sleep. The Lord guards you. The Lord is the shade that protects you from the sun. The sun cannot hurt you during the day, and the moon cannot hurt you at night. The Lord will protect you from all dangers. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard you as you come and go, both now and forever. When we moved to Kelseyville 24 years ago, the Lord blessed us with a house that faces Mount Conocti. I am fortunate to live where I have hills below me, which is Helen and George Hill live right below us. And they're great, great neighbors. And then I have that mountain above me. So for the past 20 years, very early, almost every weekday morning, in the cold of the dark in the winter, and in the spring and the summer, just as dawn is breaking, I hike up the road that leads to the top of the west side of the mountain, usually with my walking partner and dear friend Debbie. Sometimes we talk as we walk. Other times I walk on ahead because I'm faster than she is. And this is where I have time to speak privately with the Lord. Some of these walks have been pouring out my heart, and sometimes tears for a wayward child, and finding his comfort and the assurance that he understands and is watching over me and my children. On mornings when the moon is still up, I think of how, while others sleep, God never does. He's always awake and knows everything that is going on. And when I hear strange sounds, like the time Debbie's head lamp spotted a mountain lion, it didn't attack us, and we thank the Lord we didn't get attacked for protecting us. And often on these walks, there is rejoicing as well for the many blessings God has given me in my life, for the beauty he created as I look down on the valley below, seeing my house, our neighborhood, the schools where I worked, the orchards, the vineyards, farms, and the lake, knowing he oversees it all and provides in such a wonderful way to meet all of our needs. The higher we climb, the smaller we seem in comparison, and I am always amazed how he knows and he cares about each and every one of us. When dealing with trials or when experience great joy and appreciation to God, even with friends to share in these life experiences and challenges, ultimately I do know that God is the one who truly understands and has the power to heal us, to change us, bless us, and bring the best to our lives. I feel his peaceful presence on the mountain, and I know not only at the start of the day, but all through each day, no matter what I'm doing, that the Lord is watching over us and guarding our lives. Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord.
Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you as we go to your word that we would be transformed by this truth that our help comes from you. Help us, Lord, this day to not just be hearers, but also effectual doers of your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. This psalm is labeled a psalm of ascent. Now, if you notice in your Bibles, if you have a Bible, there's some little small words above the psalm, and those are quite ancient little notes that were given to the psalms. This is one of the psalms that was being used as pilgrims three times a year would make their way to Jerusalem to worship, to have a feast. And as the pilgrim is walking from the valley floor or wherever they may, they're going to be walking up. And I've done this before. I've been to Israel once. And if you're down in the bottom of the Jordan Valley by Jericho, and from Jericho to Jerusalem, it's uphill. It's like going up the grapevine. And so this is what I think is happening here. This is a psalm for pilgrims. They're heading to a place of worship, and the mountains themselves beg the question, where does our help come from? Where does our help come from? One of my heroes of the faith, David Livingstone, I have a first edition copy of his memoirs and his journal in my office. It was given to me by the guys in my Bible study. He had a heart to see the gospel come to the deepest, darkest part of Africa. One of his other great quests was to break the back of slavery, which had gripped the world. And he felt that if he could bring the gospel to deepest, darkest Africa, change the hearts of people, find other ways from them to make money other than selling people, that this would be a good thing. And so Glasgow, Scotland. He was going to take a steamer from there to Liverpool, and then from Liverpool on to Africa. He would be there, and his father would walk him to the dockside, and he would recite this psalm. Now, why is that? Because David Livingstone was going to a place where there were no cell phones. There were no roads. There were no hospitals. There were no general stores. There was nothing. If you got in trouble, you got to figure it out. If you wanted to communicate to back home, he'd write a letter, and he would find somebody who was heading towards the coast, towards Zanzibar or towards Ghana, and say, hey, could you please take this and put it on the next ship that's going to get home? And for years and years, his family didn't even hear of him. And his wife would finally come to visit, and she would get there. And unfortunately, her canoe turned over, and they lost their anti-malarial stuff, and she died of malaria. His son, who hated slavery also, would sign up and fight in the Civil War, and he would die in the Civil War. And David Livingston would look over the hills, and all of a sudden he would see, as far as the eye can see, campfires of villages that had never heard the gospel, trapped in darkness. And he went based upon the strength of this psalm. The Lord is my help. So we want to look today at the search for help. We want to look at the source of help, the scope of help, and the strength of help. First of all, in the search for help, I believe everyone needs help. Yes, there may have been a time when we were kids and we were trying to do something and we pushed our mom or dad away and said, I don't need any help. One of my favorite songs growing up was a song by the Beatles called Help. And I was going to have the worship team sing it for us. I'm not going to sing it, but I could do it, but I'm not going to. But I will read the words, and they are poignant. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, oh, so much younger than today, I never needed anyone's help in any way. But now those days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, and I open up the door. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Now my life has changed in so many ways. My independence seems to have vanished in the haze. And every now and then I feel so insecure. I know I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Help me, help me. Oh. Oh. I like that song. There were times where I was more self-assured, but I realized this. I need help. Do you need help today? Sure you do. We all need help. There was a man who had a lot of troubles, and people were always bugging him. Neighbors were bugging him. They were bugging him at work. People bugging him. Politics were bugging him. Government letting him down. So he says, the problem must be people. So he went ahead and moved, sold all this stuff, and got this on this island way off the north shore of Scotland. There he built himself a little cottage out of a stone. He said, well, finally now, I don't need anybody else. I don't need anyone because now there's no one to bug me. And ultimately, he would write down in his journal, a sad reality is this, is that he fled to the place to find peace, but he said these words, I have found that the foeman is within. And you may have trouble right now with people bugging you. You may have situations out of your control that are bugging you. But ultimately this, your own incapacity to do stuff is going to make you cry out for help. Last week we talked about our lives are in these tents, and one day they're going to be transformed to something that's permanent. Why does God put us in a fragile state? That we may learn to lean upon Him. Period. Why doesn't He just, every time you have a prayer, He immediately answers it to your satisfaction? Wouldn't that be nice? Like God's like your butler. Bring me some hot water, Jeeves, you know? Okay. Yeah. God's not our butler. He is Yahweh. He is the God who defines himself, created the heavens and the earth. So we know this, in the search for help, that the world is searching for help, often searching in all the wrong places. Next, we want to look at the source of help, verse 2. Makes it very clear. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Now, interesting here. Your help does not come from the mountains. That's not what the verse says. The Hebrew of this, where it says, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. And then the question, from whence shall my help come? Every time in the Hebrew, those words are always translated into a question. So the question is not, boy, I'm sure glad I live by Mount Kinoctai or by Mount Vesuvius or whatever mountain, because that's my help. No, there's something about the mountain as they're walking to Jerusalem that lifted their sense, and ultimately this, the help comes from the Lord. The word Lord there is the word Yahweh. Now, why is that significant? Because when Moses stood before the burning bush and said, well, who should I call you? He says, well, tell him I am sent you. This is the root of that. The God who defines himself. And ultimately, it defines it here. From whence come my help? Verse 2, my help comes from Yahweh the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. So, we're not talking about some puny God. There are no gods, really. There's one God, the God who made the heavens and the earth. Now, that's pretty significant. If I have some troubles, I want to go to the one who knows what they're doing. The God who made the heavens and the earth. The psalmist does not look to creation for help, but looks to the Creator. Now, how many of you have ever been, you don't need to raise your hand. I'm sure that many of us have felt inspired or even refreshed or at peace when we're in the mountains. Or when we drive over to the coast and we smell the fresh air and we see the wide open spaces and the beauty and power of the ocean. Those are supposed to lift us to the Lord. But the mountains and the ocean do not save you. The Creator of the heavens and the earth is the one who can rescue you. And ultimately this in our life, it is the choice of where we will focus our attention. Where are your eyes today? Are your eyes or are my eyes on our problems? On my limitations? On how much money I have or don't have? On the limitations of those sitting around me? On the limitations of the current government systems of the world? Friends, our eyes have to be on the Lord. Where you have your eyes today means everything. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, verse 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end of our faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has suffered such hostility by sinners against himself, that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In what? In your walk, in your race of life. Friends, I get into trouble in my life when I focus on the wrong things. And the psalmist here is that the source of his help must be in the Lord. Everything else is so fragile. You may have married and are married to the love of your life. I know I am. But the person you're married to is not God. They didn't create you. You're just sharing your life. If you treat them like God, that's inappropriate. Your bank account, even the civilization that we currently live in, these things change and go back and forth, but the Lord never changes, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So first we saw the search for help, next the source of help, which is God, the Creator, and then next the scope of that help. Look here at verses 3 and following. He who, the Lord, will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. So the source of that is God. The scope of it is here. First of all, he will keep you from slipping. He's not going to put some impediment that's going to trip you up just so, you know, he's like playing with your life. He says, no temptation will overcome you. Not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. So the Lord is watching out even over our steps. Now, interesting here, you have this word keep. And the word keep is found, once again, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. So there's the key. The Lord is our keeper. He's not a zookeeper, right? The Lord is our shepherd. He cares for us. He watches over us. He guards us. That's the scope of it. So the first is he keeps us from slipping. When you were saved, when you gave your life to Christ and responded to this offer of salvation, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. You became a child of God, and he took responsibility for you. He is your heavenly Father. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's in. He can't be any more in. The problem is that often we're not in. We're flaky. So we see here the scope of it. He keeps us from slipping. Next, he helps those who are sleepy because he never sleeps. The Lord is the one who takes the night watch because he never slumbers or sleeps. Years ago, I was with a group of students up in the Boundary Waters between Canada and Minnesota. We'd go on a 100-mile canoe trip with the young people when I was youth pastor. Fourth year we did that, we're out there, and it was a drought year, and the bears were hungry. And normally the bears only came at night, so you'd have to put your packs up in the trees on these poles, and no food in the tents. You know, you're trying to tell kids they're always kind of sneaking a little Mars bar. Don't do that because the bears like Mars bars. So here's what happened this year. The bears begin showing up in the middle of the daytime, and it was freaking everybody out. So I had to pull the staff together, and we had to say, okay, we're going to have a night watch. Who's going to take now from 9 till midnight? And who's going to take from midnight till 3? And that's what we did. And guess what? The bears kept coming back. And as soon as the bears came back, we're rattling pans, we're doing all kinds of stuff. It was the night watch. I got to tell you, I can't remember what watch I took. But here's what happened. One of the girls got so freaked out, she went into a shock. And myself and another one of my staff guys got in the canoe and canoed 35 miles in one day to get her back to the to civilization. I have to tell you, I'm pretty good at staying up late. But I got really tired. Every once in a while, I got to drive late at night. I do really, really good driving. I mean, I'm just sharp as a tack till 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock, after 2 o'clock, all bets are off. So here's what I do. You can use this if you want because it'll help you. I have two things that I get. I get those chocolate donuts, you know, the waxy ones. And then I get a couple of those Starbucks double shot espresso things. All right? So, boom, and then I'm eating these chocolate donuts, you know, and that just keeps me alert. Here's what the Bible says. He doesn't have to do that. It's funny, isn't it? But here's the thing. Isn't it comforting to know that the Lord never slumbers, he never sleeps? Nightmare of every parent as they hire a babysitter. and the babysitter's preoccupied with texting, or their boyfriend sneaks over, or they fall asleep. Kid sneaks out. Where's little Junior? I don't know. I fell asleep. They're out in the street someplace. It happens. God never slumbers or sleeps. This may be scary, but it's comforting. He watches everything that concerns you. So he helps us from slipping from in the issue of sleeping. And next, he helps us when we're struggling. It says this in verse 5 and 6. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade on our right hand. Now, what does that mean? He's our keeper. He's our shepherd. And here's something we all have to get a grip on. And you may not like it. You need a keeper. You need a shepherd. You're going to choose someone to be your shepherd, either yourself or some guy or some girl or your job or the government or whatever. You cannot keep yourself. You weren't made that way. And there's definitely no way you can get to heaven other than by the help of Jesus Christ. Amen. He helps those who are struggling. And this is a beautiful picture. He is the shade on our right hand. What does that mean? Now, I want you to imagine that if you have some big, tall person standing between you and the sun on your right hand, they're constantly providing that shade. It has to deal with God's protection and his constant presence with us. And that's a pretty cool thing. He protects us from our enemies. He protects us from the elements. Here, look at this. Shade on my right hand, verse 6. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. One of the great concerns of the pilgrim in those days was the issue of sunstroke. He says, the Lord's going to watch over you. But also it's interesting, and the moon at night. Moonstroke, unlike sunstroke, did not affect the body but the mind. Now, the ancient people believed that the full moon specifically kind of did a bad mojo thing. Now, people who have ever worked as a nurse and doctors on ER on a full moon night, they tell me it's always weird on a full moon. I don't know if that's true or not. But in the ancient world, they believed that the moon had some kind of impact on you. And they feared it. They feared the full moon. And so they would do special prayers and all kinds of stuff. And God said, don't worry about that. You know where we get the word lunatic? This from this word, luna. Yeah. It's the moon driving you crazy. And God says, don't worry about that. I've got that. I'm covering you. The scope is this, that God is our keeper. And the last is the strength. So we had the search, the source, the scope, and now the strength of our help. First of all, it says in verse 7, the Lord will protect you. It's the same word, keep. The Lord will keep you from evil and will keep your soul. The Lord will guard or keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. He'll guard us from evil. That's pretty wonderful. I mean, here's what it says in Jude chapter 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Lord can do that. The Lord keeps our soul. But he also guards us from evil on the outside. Tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and following, humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord, and in his own good time he will lift you up. Cast all your cares on him, because he's watching everything that concerns you. Then it says this, watch out for Satan, for he prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion seeking victims to devour. Stand steady when he attacks, firm in your faith, and trust the Lord, and remember that other brethren in the world are suffering the same things too. And after a little while, the God of all grace, through Jesus Christ will himself confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion and glory forever. Friends, it tells us, watch out for the devil. He's trying, prowling around to destroy people. Here's, as a believer, as a child of God, I can tell you, the devil can't get to me. It's got to go through the Father. Jesus says, I hold you in my hands, and the Father holds us all in his hands. So the issue is this, boy, what protection is there for those who are in Christ? The answer is all the protection we need. The strength of our help, our going out and our coming in. And here's what it says. From this time forth and forever. This week I was at the bedside of a dear friend. She's in hospice and last stages of cancer, which will take her life unless the Lord does a special miracle. She's just had to remind her that the love of the Lord, and he's ready to receive her at the right time. It's pretty difficult to say that to someone who's never wanted to know the Lord or doesn't know the Lord, who's forsaken the Lord altogether. The only strength has been the hills, not the creator of the hills. I'm not sure. I'm 60 years old, and my expectation, if I add up the DNA and how long my grandparents have lived and my dad's alive, probably got another about 30 years to go, maybe 40. And my knees will go out before anything. But the Lord will not go out. He's going to be there for my going out and my coming in, both now and forevermore. And whatever day that may be that the Lord chooses to take me home, that's exactly what's going to happen. He will take me home. He's my keeper. He is the shade on my right hand. Who are you looking to for help today? Friends, let's make sure that it's not in something that could vanish. Your health can vanish. People can vanish. Your money can vanish. This country could vanish. Who's going to help you with temptations within your heart? Who's going to help you when Satan launches an attack against your life? Who's going to help you when troubles, trials, and problems overwhelm your heart and your soul? Who's going to help you when the bottom falls out of your life and you see nowhere to turn? Who's going to help you when friends, family, and others, the resources fail? Who's going to help you when you don't even know how to help yourself? The answer is this: God, who created you, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. So let's not have a weak relationship with him. Let's just not check in with him on Sunday because we feel or we'll feel guilty. Friends, we need to walk with him daily. We need to read his word and pray, not just daily, but moment by moment. He wants us to walk in a sense of confidence. Years ago, the story is told. People were traveling and moving from the East Coast during the pioneer time, and this guy who had never been out west, he gets to this river. And he gets there with his horse and his little wagon. He'd never crossed a frozen river before. I remember when Sue and I first moved to Minnesota, boy, it was freaky going out to the lakes, Lake Harriet and Lake, you know, you go, wow, you can walk on ice, you know. This guy had never been across a frozen river. And he's out there kind of testing it like this. And he was there for hours, fearful. I'm going to fall through the ice and everything else. And then he heard this jingling off in the distance. And he saw down the road that he had just come off of a wagon, a massive wagon, a freight wagon, being pulled by six Clydesdales. And he was there. And they went down the road and didn't even pause, and they crossed that river. Why? They'd done it 1,000 times. I think the Lord is patient with us. He says, boy, yeah, you haven't been through this stuff before. You know, a little bit of fear, so trust in me. But friends, I want to trust the one who's been there and back. That's Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. So let's depend upon him. You may be at a spot in your life where you're kind of wondering, boy, I don't know if I can move forward. The ice may be thin. Well, wait on the Lord. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? But then let me encourage you to walk forward with confidence. You may not see it all right now, and the Lord may be in the fog because he wants you to trust in him. I get that. I wish it was so much clearer. Don't you wish sometime he just handed you a list? Okay, here's what's going to happen in your life for the next 40 years. On this date, this is going to happen. I don't know if I really want that. How about this? How about if I trust in the Lord, who's much smarter than I am? How about if I trust in the keeper who made the heavens and the earth? How about if I trust in the one who's been across the frozen rivers many times? Closing, there's a little boy. He spent Saturday morning playing in his sandbox. He had a pail and a shovel, and he had little cars and stuff. Maybe you did that when you were a kid. And he starts digging, and he comes across this massive rock in the sandbox. This rock's the size of a basketball. He digs all around it, and he's getting frustrated, and he wants it out of there because it's getting in the way, so he tries to push it. He's able with all of his might to push it to the edge of the sandbox, but he can't get it out of the sandbox. And he starts crying. His father was watching this from the window. And the father comes out, and he says, "What's wrong, son?" He goes, I tried my hardest, and I used all my energies to get this out." And the father says, "No, you haven't, son." "Yes, I have. I did this and this." He says, "No, son, because you forgot one thing. You didn't ask me for help." And the father reaches down, grabs it, and moves it out. That's a story I have to remember. Maybe the Lord has brought some immovable object into your life, and it's going to be not just today, not just tomorrow. Maybe it's years. Maybe it's decades. Maybe it's your whole life. Lord, I want to depend on you. You're going to move the rock. God's just not messing with our lives. Either this is a bunch of baloney. Either we're just the product of amino acids being struck by lightning 7.5 billion years ago. And our existence is a complete roll of the dice. Or we have a keeper, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And not only that, we have a redeemer who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Do you know him today? Do you know him personally? If you know him personally and you're his child, then he is watching. He has made commitments to you. And so how does a person enter a relationship with Christ? I think there's three steps. One, we admit our need for God. And we turn to him. It's called repentance. Now, you can't do that of yourself because you're dead in your sin. The Spirit of God has to even enlighten that. And then we turn. You're either going to say, "No, I'm going to do it my own way." Well, then you're going to go, you won't have a helper. But we turn to him. We put our belief in the work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. He died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross that we may have a way to have a relationship with God. And that's through faith. He says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So we accept who we are, we turn to him, we put our belief in Jesus Christ, and we confess him as both Lord and Savior. And we can only do that by his grace. We don't deserve it. And then the rest of it is your journey. Yes, you're the pilgrim in your life, whether your life is short or whether it's going to be very long. God only knows that. That's in his hands. Along the way, he will have a constant reminder to each one of us that we need to depend upon him. And those around us who are struggling, who do not know the Lord, they'll watch our lives and say, well, how do you make it? And we'll point to the Lord. We get into trouble when we focus our attention on anything other than God. This beautiful chorus of an old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full to his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's stand together. Let's sing that together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. I want to give you this one assurance. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Jesus said, I came you might have life and have it abundantly. You may be going through a season of doubt right now. You may be going through a season of time where you're just clinging to with the best of your ability. And here's what I got to tell you. Is that do that, but here's the more important thing. God will never let go of you. He is our keeper. He's our shepherd. Heavenly Father, help us to focus on your things and not on the circumstances. Lord, help us to always focus on your resources and not our limited ones. Thank you, Lord, that you watch our going out and our coming in. You watch us and guard us until the day that you'll take us home, and even there you'll watch over us. Until that moment, Lord, help us to walk in a manner worthy of all that you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.